From the prayers of Charles Spurgeon, Seeking Wisdom for Unanswered Prayer. God of Israel, God of Jesus Christ, our God forever and ever, help us now by the Sacred Spirit to approach you aright with deepest reverence, but not with servile fear, with holiest boldness, but not with presumption. Teach us as children to speak to the Father and yet as creatures to bow before our Maker. Father, we would first ask you whether you have anything against us as your children. Have we been asking somewhat of you amiss? And have you given us that which we have sought? We are not conscious of it, but it may be so. And now we are brought as an answer to our presumptuous prayers into a more difficult position than the one we occupied before. Now it may be that some creature comfort is nearer to us than our God. We had better have been without it, and have dwelt in you, and have found our joy in you. But now, Lord, in these perilous circumstances, give us grace that we may not turn away from you. If our position now be not such as you would have allotted to us, had we been wiser, yet nevertheless grant that we may be taught to behave ourselves aright, even now, lest the mercies you have given should become a cause of stumbling, and the obtaining of our heart's desire should become a temptation to us. Rather do we feel inclined to bless you for the many occasions in which you have not answered our prayer. For you have said that we did ask amiss, and therefore we could not have, and we desire to register this prayer with you, that whensoever we do ask amiss, you would in great wisdom and love be pleased to refuse us. O Lord, if we at any time press our suit without a sufficiency of resignation, do not regard us, we pray. And though we cry to you day and night concerning anything, yet if you see that in this we err, regard not the voice of our cry, we pray. It is our heart's desire now in our coolest moments that this prayer of ours might stand on record as long as we live, not as I will, but as you will. But, O Lord, and looking back, we are obliged to remember with the greatest gratitude in many occasions in which you have heard our cry. We have been brought into deep distress, and our heart has sunk within us. And then have we cried to you, and you have never refused to hear us. The prayers of our lusts you have rejected, but the prayers of our necessities you have granted. Not one good thing has failed of all that you have promised. You have given us exceeding abundantly above what we have asked or even thought. For there was a day when our present condition would have been regarded as much too high for us ever to reach. And in looking back, we are surprised that those who did be among the pots of Egypt should now sit every man under his vine and fig tree, that those who wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way should now find a city to dwell in, that we who were prodigals and rags should now be children in the Father's bosom, that we who were companions of swine should now be heirs of God and join heirs with Christ. Oh, what encouragement we have to pray to such a prayer-hearing God, who far exceeds the request of his children. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Our inmost heart is saying, Amen, blessed be his name. If it were only for an answered prayer, or even for some unanswered prayers, we would continue to praise and bless you as long as we have any being. And now, Lord, listen to the voice of your children's cry. Wherever there is a sincere heart seeking for greater holiness, answer that request. Or wherever there is a broken spirit seeking for reconciliation with yourself, be pleased to answer that now. You know where there is prayer, though it be unuttered, and even the lips do not move. Oh, hear the publican who dares not lift his eyes to heaven. Hear him while he cries, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before you. Oh, that you would grant peace and rest to every troubled spirit all over the world who now desires to turn his face to the cross and to see God in Christ Jesus. The following comes from Christian Prayers and Holy Meditations, as well for private as public exercise. collected by Henry Bole in the year 1566 from the Parker Society. Merciful Father, thou art wont to send to your servants and men of simple hearts your angels to be their keepers, and as it were, guides, as elder brethren to watch upon your weak children. So did you to young Tobias, to Jacob, to Abraham's servant, to Joshua, and so on. O good God, though we be much unlike to them, so many are our sins, yet for your own goodness' sake, send your holy angels to pitch their tents about us, to hide us and defend us from Satan and his slaves, to carry us in their hands, that we come not into further danger than you will deliver us out of, for your own sake. There is nothing, O Lord, more like to your holy nature than a quiet mind. You have called us out of the troublesome disquietness of the world into that quiet rest and peace which the world cannot give, being such a peace as passes all men's understanding. Houses are ordained for us, that by them we might be defended from the injury of weather, from the cruelty of beasts, from disquietness of people, and rest from the toils of the world. O gracious Father, grant that through your great mercy, my body may enter into this house from outward actions, but so that it may become buxom and obedient to the soul, and make no resistance against this, that in soul and body I may have a godly quietness and peace to praise your holy name. Amen. From the Rise and Progress of Religion in the Soul. Prayer from a soul so overwhelmed with the sense of the greatness of its sins that it dares not apply itself to Christ with any hope of salvation. O my soul, what sayest thou to these things? Is there not at least a possibility of help from Christ? And is there a possibility of help any other way? Is any other name given under heaven in which we can be saved? I know there is none. I must then say, like the lepers of Israel, if I sit here, I perish, and if I make my application in vain, I can but die. But peradventure he may save my soul alive. I will therefore arise and go in to him, or rather, believe in him here by his spiritual presence. Sinful and miserable as I am, I will this moment fall down on my face before him and pour out my soul to him. Blessed Jesus, I present myself to you as a wretched creature, driven indeed by necessity to do it. For surely were not that necessity urgent and absolute, I should not dare for very shame to appear in your holy and majestic presence. I am fully convinced that my sins and my follies have been inexcusably great, more than I can express, more than I can conceive. I feel a source of sin in my corrupt and degenerate nature, which pours out iniquity as a fountain sends out its water. It makes me a burden and a terror to myself. Such aggravations have attended my transgressions that it looks like presumption so much as to ask pardon for them. And yet would it not be greater presumption to say that they exceed your mercy and the efficacy of your blood? To say that you only have power and grace enough to pardon and save sinners of a lower order, while such as I lie out of your reach? Preserve me from that blasphemous imagination. Preserve me from that unreasonable suspicion. Lord, you can do all things, neither is there any thought of mine heart withholden from you. You are indeed, as your word declares, able to save to the uttermost. And therefore, breaking through all the oppositions of shame and fear that would keep me from you, I come and lie down as in the dust before you. Thou knowest, O Lord, all my sins and all my follies. I cannot, and I hope may say, I would not disguise them before you, or set myself to find out plausible excuses. Accuse me, Lord, as you please, and I will ingenuously plead guilty to all your accusations. I will own myself as a great sinner, as you call me, but I am still a sinner that comes to you for pardon. If I must die, it shall be submitting and owning the justice of the fatal stroke. If I perish, it shall be laying hold as it were, on the horns of the altar, laying myself down at your footstool, though I have been such a rebel against your throne. Many have received a full pardon there, have met with favor even beyond their hopes. And are all your compassions, O blessed Jesus, exhausted? And will you now begin to reject a humble creature who flies to you for life, and pleads nothing but mercy and free grace? Have mercy upon me, O gracious Redeemer. Have mercy upon me, and let my life be precious in your sight. 2 Kings 1, verse 14. Oh, do not resolve to send me down to that state of final misery and despair from which it was your gracious purpose to deliver and save so many. Spurn me not away, O Lord, from your presence, nor be offended when I presume to lay hold on your royal robe and say that I cannot and will not let you go until my suit is granted. Or remember that my eternity is at stake. Remember, O Lord, that all my hopes of obtaining eternal happiness and avoiding everlasting, helpless, hopeless destruction are anchored upon you. They hang upon your smiles or drop at your frown. Oh, have mercy upon me for the sake of this immortal soul of mine, or if not for the sake of mine alone, for the sake of many others who may, on the one hand, be encouraged by your mercy to us, or on the other may be greatly wounded and discouraged by my helpless despair. I beseech you, O Lord, for your own sake, and for the display of your Father's rich and sovereign grace, I beseech you by the blood that you shed on the cross, I beseech you by the covenant of grace and peace into which the Father did enter with you for the salvation of believing and repenting sinners. Save me, O Lord, who earnestly desire to repent and believe. I am indeed a sinner in whose final and everlasting destruction your justice might be greatly glorified. But, oh, if you will pardon me, it will be a monument raised to the honor of your grace and the efficacy of your blood, in proportion to the degree in which the wretch to whom your mercy is extended was mean and miserable without it. Speak, Lord, by your blessed Spirit, and banish my fears. Look unto me with love and grace in your countenance, and say to me as in the days of your flesh, you did to many an humble supplicant, thy sins are forgiven you. Go in peace. A reading from A Method for Prayer by Matthew Henry. Praying to be preserved from the calamities to which we are exposed. Thou, Lord, art our refuge and our fortress, and under your wings will we trust. Your truth shall be our shield and buckler. Let us therefore not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Having made the Lord our refuge and the Most High our habitation, let no evil befall us, nor any plague come near our dwelling. Let the Lord be our keeper, even he that keeps Israel, and neither slumbers nor sleeps. Let the Lord be our shade on our right hand, that the sun may not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. Let the Lord preserve us from all evil. The Lord preserve our souls. The Lord preserve our going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Lord, make a hedge about us, about our houses, and about all that we have round about, and take sickness away from the midst of us. This publication from the Parker Society is The Flower of Godly Prayers by Thomas Becon, a prayer to be said for all such as lie at the point of death. O most loving Savior and gentle Redeemer, which came into this world to call sinners to repentance and to seek that which was lost, you see in what case this our brother lies here, visited with your merciful hand, weak, feeble, sick, and ready to yield up his soul into your holy hands. Oh, look upon him, most gentle Savior, with your merciful eye. Pity him and be favorable to him. He is your workmanship. Despise not, therefore, the work of your own hands. You suffer your blessed body and your precious blood to be shed for his sins, and to bring him unto the glory of your heavenly Father. Let it not therefore come to pass that you should suffer so great pains for him in vain. He was baptized in your name, and gave himself wholly to be your servant, forsaking the devil, the world, and the flesh. Confess him therefore before your heavenly Father and his blessed angels to be your servant. His sins we confess are great, for who is able to say, my heart is clean and I am free from sin? But your mercies, O Lord, are much greater. And you came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. To them that are diseased and overladen with the burden of sin, you promised ease. You art that God which wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he should turn and live. You are the Savior which wished all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't withdraw therefore your mercy from him because of his sins, but rather lay upon him your saving health, that you may show yourself toward him to be a Savior. What greater praise can there be to a physician than to heal the sick? Neither can there be a greater glory to you being a Savior than to save sinners. Save him therefore, O Lord, for your name's sake. Again, let the law be no corrective to his conscience, but rather give him grace even in this extreme agony and conflict with death, to be fully persuaded that you, by your death, have taken away all his sins, fulfilled the law for him, and by this means delivered him from the curse of the law, and paid his ransom, that he thus, being fully persuaded, may have a quiet heart, a free conscience, and a glad will, to forsake this wretched world and go unto his Lord God. Moreover, you have conquered him, the head rule of death, even Satan. Don't allow him, therefore, to exercise his tyranny upon our sick brother, nor to disquiet his conscience with the tears of sin and pains of hell. Don't let Satan, nor his infernal army, tempt him further than he is able to bear, but evermore give him grace, even to this last breath, valiantly to fight against the devil with a strong faith in your precious blood, that he might fight a good fight, finish his course with joy to the glory of your name and the health of his soul. O Lord, so work in him by your Holy Spirit, that he with all of his heart may contemn and despise all worldly things, and set his mind wholly upon heavenly things, hoping for them with a strong and undoubted faith. Again, let it not grieve him, O sweet Savior, to be loosened from this vile and wretched carcass, which is now so full of sorrow, trouble, anguish, sickness, and pain, but rather let him have a bent and ready will through your goodness to put it off, yea, and that with this faith, that he at the last day shall receive it again in a much better state than it is now, or ever was from the day of his birth, even a body uncorruptible, immortal, and like to your glorious body. Let his whole heart and mind be set only upon you. Let the remembrance of the joys of heaven be so fervent in his breast that he may both patiently and thankfully take his death and ever wish to be with you in glory. And when the time comes that he shall give over to nature and depart from this miserable world, vouchsafe, we must humbly beseech you, O Lord Jesus, to take his soul into your hands and to place it among the glorious company of your holy angels and blessed saints, and to keep it to that most joyful day of the general resurrection, that both his body and soul, through your almighty power being knit together at that day, he may forever and ever enjoy your glorious kingdom and sing perpetual praises to your blessed name. Amen. From the collected prayers of Henry Bowell, 1566, A Prayer and Lamentation of a Sinner, afflicted in conscience for his offenses. In the midst of the desperate assaults of my soul, the intolerable heaviness of my mind hath heretofore, Lord, cried as shrill in your ears as though I entreat, and with lamentations cried out, saying, Help, help me, my God, my Creator, my most provident Keeper, an everlasting defender, for behold, I perish. On this occasion, Lord, when heaviness of mind did heretofore assault me, I remembered that you had many times set before mine eyes the wonderful greatness of your most tender love towards me, by great multitude of your benefits poured upon me, which benefits every one of your works, as they came before mine eyes, gave me just occasion to be mindful of. When not, I thought, if I in a manner any grace at all, would not such love bring now into my heart a wonderful delectation, comfort, and joy in God for the same? And again, could such delight in your sweet mercy and tender love towards me, if I were not as evil as a castaway that were none of your children, be without loathing of my sin and lust and desire to do your holy will? In these things I thought, fie upon me, unthankful wretch, are either not at all in me, or else indeed so coldly and slenderly, that they, being truly weighed and compared to righteousness, are more vile than a filthy cloth, starched and corrupt blood. Oh, I thought, I'm afraid I have deceived myself for your servants at all times. I trow, feel otherwise than I now do the fruits of your spirit as love, joy, peace, and such like. But my love, alas, towards you, what is it? My joy, oh woe is my heart, therefore, is not once almost felt of me, for my very soul within me, as David in his heaviness said, refuses comfort and fares as though it did utterly despair. What peace can I feel then, or certainty of your favor and love? Justly may I pour out this dolorous lamentation of Zion. The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Even in the midst, I say, of these my former desperate assaults, mine intolerable heaviness cried to my God, and from heaven he heard my groanings, and thereupon first prepared my heart to ask comfort of him, and then he accepted my prayer and gave me plentifully my asking. O my soul, consider well that you are never able to declare the exceeding goodness of God in this, that he heard the very desires of your being afflicted, who is so ready favorably to grant the requests of the afflicted, that oftentimes he tarries not until they call, whatever they call upon him, he favorably hears them. As the psalmist says, the desires of the afflicted you hear, O Lord, you prepare their hearts and your ear hears them. O Lord my God, marvelous things are these, whether I consider this marvelous manner of your hearing, or else the marvelous nature and property of your goodness. Marvelous, no doubt, is that your hearing in which the very desires of the afflicted are heard. But much more marvelous is this your goodness which tarries not until the afflicted desire your help, but prepares first their hearts to desire, and then you give them their desires. Yes, Lord, worthy of all praise it cannot otherwise be. For how should you do otherwise than your nature and property is? Are not your very goodness and mercy itself? How can you then but pity and help misery? Are not you both the creator and also the conserver of all things? Insomuch as the lion's whelps roaring after their prey do seek their food at your hands, and the raven's birds lacking meat do call upon you? If then your fatherly providence and tender care, O Lord, upon all creatures be so great, that the very beasts and fowls have this experience of your goodness and their necessities, that your roarings and cryings have the strength of earnest callings and beseechings, how much rather do these sighings, groanings, and desperate heaviness of men, but chiefly of all those which believe in you, cry and call aloud in your ears, though they speak never a word at all? Should I then now despair of your fatherly mercy, while presently I feel you stir up my soul and heart to crave help at your hand? Should I think that you will absent yourself forever, that you will no more be entreated, that your mercy is clean gone and your promise come utterly to an end, and that you will now shut up your loving kindness and displeasure? Nay, Lord, for all alterations are of your right hand, and turn always to the best to them that fear you. All this is but your own infirmity, for you are ever one, your promises are infallible, and your love towards your own is everlasting. A continuation of the prayer of Charles Spurgeon. O Lord, if there are any of your servants exercised about the cases of others, we would thank you for them. Raise up in the church many intercessors who shall plead for the prosperity of Zion, and give you no rest until you establish her and make her a joy in the land. Oh, there are some of us that cry to you about our country. You know how in secret we groaned and sighed over evil times, and you have begun to hear us already, for which we desire to praise and bless your name. But we would not cease to pray for this land, that you would roll away from it all of its sin, and that you would deliver it from the curse of drunkenness, rescue it from infidelity, popery, ritualism, rationalism, and every form of evil, that this land might become a holy land. O Lord, Bring the multitudes of the working men to listen to the gospel. Break in, we pray you, upon their stolid indifference. Give them a love of your house, a desire to hear your gospel. And then you will look upon the poor rich who, so many of them, know nothing about you and are worshiping their own wealth. The Lord grant that the many for whom there are no special gospel services, but who are wrapped up in self-righteousness, may be brought to hear the gospel of Jesus, that they also, as well as the poor, may be brought to Christ. God bless this land with more of gospel light and with more of gospel life and love. You will hear us, O Lord. Then would we pray for our children, that they might be saved. Some of us can no longer pray for our children's conversion. Our prayers are heard already. But there are others who have children who vex them and grieve their hearts. O God, save sons and daughters of godly people. Let them not have to sigh over their children as Eli did and as Samuel did. And may they see their sons and daughters become the children of the living God. We would pray for our servants, for our neighbors, for our kinsfolk of near or far degree, that all might be brought to Jesus. Do this, O God, of your infinite mercy. And as we are now making intercession, we would, according to your word, pray for all kings, such as are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. We pray for all nations also. Bless and remember the lands that sit in darkness, and let them see a great light. And may missionary enterprise be abundantly successful. And let the favored nations where our God is known, especially this land, and a land across the mighty ocean that love the same Savior and speak the same tongue, be always favored with the divine presence and with abundant prosperity and blessing. Lord, you have chosen this, our race, and favored it and multiplied it on the face of the earth. And whereas with this staff it crossed this Jordan, it has now become two great nations. Lord, be pleased to bless the whole of the race and those absorbed into it, and then all of the races that in us may be fulfilled. The blessed Abraham, I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. And now, Father, glorify your Son. And scattering pardons through his precious blood, glorify your Son. And sending forth the eternal Spirit to convince men and bring them to his feet, glorify your Son. And enriching your saints with gifts and graces and building them up into his image, glorify your Son. And a gathering together of the whole company of his elect, and in the hastening of his kingdom and his coming, glorify your Son. Beyond this prayer, we cannot go. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And unto the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be glory forever and ever. Amen.